last day of the week, day 10. We are looking at 1 Samuel 7 through 10 and chapter 12.
Yeah, so 1 Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel are, again, some of my favorite books of the Bible, honestly. There's great stories in there. So basically, again, we're narrowing the scope here. So we have Judges, and then you have Ruth that narrows in on Ruth. And then we come to Samuel, and Samuel is actually the last judge of Israel, right? So we're still in Judges, you know, so now we have the last judge of Israel. And, you know, it's not part of the reading here, so I'm encouraging anybody that's never read this, go back and read the first part of Samuel to hear the calling of Samuel and how he was selected specifically. And because you're talking about a person that served God faithfully his entire life. From the moment he was conceived, he was called by God. There was this special thing to it, and then he served God all the way to the moment of his death. So, but what we have in the actual reading here, starting in chapter 7, is the most important part to look at is this Israel rejecting God again, you know, and so when we get to this Israel asking for a king, this sounds, we might hear this and say, well, that makes sense, you know, like, okay, king, you know, and maybe we've grown up with, we've heard about King David and we've heard about King Solomon. It's like, well, King David, King Jesus, you know, he comes from the line of kings. And here's the thing that's important to understand. It was not God's idea to have a king in Israel, because Israel already had a king and it was God. And so what happens here is Israel comes and they basically say to Samuel, hey, you're leading us and we love that you're leading us. But we want to be like everybody else. And that's the statement right there that is so horrible. They basically say, we are God's chosen people. We are God ordained. God, you know, we are special. And but we want to look like every other nation. So we want a king. And in that moment, they're basically telling God, we don't want God to be our king. And that is the response that Samuel has. Samuel is just broken over this. He actually takes it personal to a point, because he's, you know, and God tells Samuel flat out, they're not refusing, they're not rejecting you, Samuel, they're rejecting me. And basically God tells Samuel, do what they've asked you to do. This is the thing about scripture, consequences. Right? Again, this wasn't God's intention. This wasn't God sitting up there going, oh, I'm going to show you. Because again, he warns the people through Samuel. Samuel tells the people, if you do this, the king will rule you bad. He's going to take from you.
He's going to take.
You know, because basically, so ultimately what's happening here is this is people, we're doing it today too, people putting their trust in man more than God. And so what we're seeing here is the same thing for any of us today that fall into focusing on even our governments today, thinking that the answer lies in man when it's God that leads. It's God that we need to follow and chase after. So that's what's happening here. And so what we see happening is, you know,
well, they think their hope lies in the government, just like a lot of people in our culture believe that. So,
So it's that foolishness of we know better is basically what it is. We know better. So that's when God tells Samuel to, okay, I'm going to choose Saul. That's going to be the first king. And here's the thing I love about Saul. Again, read the entire Samuel, because you miss so much just doing these. But he cracks me up, because he's you see him as this very, you think he's a very humble person, but he's false humility. He actually hides when they're getting ready. You know, he's a big man. The Bible says that he's bigger than everybody else. He's very strong and powerful. And he goes and hides. And, you know, God chooses him. And here's the thing. God wants Saul to succeed, but we're going to, as you read this, you'll discover he doesn't.
We also forgot to talk about Samuel's naughty kids.
Well, and that's one of the reasons, because the people were like, we don't want, you know, we don't want them leading us, you know.
They were.
I won't go there.
Yeah.
But yes, they were there, you know, and that's one of those things that I think, you know, we look at circumstances and say, well, we can't trust God because we don't want them leading us. There's so much to this where they're just not trusting God. And it sucks, because Samuel was such a good leader. So this is what, you know, happens. They institute, Saul as king, and that's what we see happening here and how all those events play out. And there's, I mean, I personally, unless you have thoughts with it, I don't personally see anything earth shattering to have to focus on. Is that's, you know, God picked, they instituted it, and he was there. And then when we get to the last, you know, into 12, this is where Samuel is, okay, he's put the king in place. His job is done. He is no longer the judge. He's no longer responsible. He still has a part to play. Samuel is going to be part of this with Saul. He's also going to be part of the story with David, because Samuel also holds a position of prophet in the Israel. But this is his farewell speech, and it comes down again to the farewell speech. He's making sure they understand. He's like, I led you the best I could. Do you agree with that? And they're like, yes, we agree with that. And I feel like he's kind of setting them up, because he's basically saying, hey,
he's if like, I are did, you sure?
Yeah, like if I did, well, I also think he's saying, if I did so well, why are you rejecting God who I'm following? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, you know, he doesn't really say it that way, but it's kind of like, hey, isn't this been good? Haven't I been fair with you and good? It's like, I'm doing it God's way. Why are we rejecting this? Because that's what a lot of his farewell is. A lot of his farewell is reminding them, this is not good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a good speech leaving. He's like, you rejected God and you're trusting man over God, and this is not going to go well. And once again, God never shies away from letting you, this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You can't point the finger at me when it goes bad.
Yeah. Well, Samuel specifically says, like, whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? And so, you know, he's like, the judges aren't taking, but a king is going to take.
Yep.
And we're going to continue to see that time and time again.
Yep. Yeah. And there's another thing I just remembered, is there's this part where he tells them all this and the people respond broken. Their heart are like, oh my goodness, no. And they ask Samuel to pray for them. But hopefully nobody, you know, everybody saw this when you read this in verse 19, listen to how they say it. The people all said to Samuel, pray to the Lord, your God, for your servants so that we will not die. What? Every time I read that, why isn't it prayed to the Lord, our God?
Yeah.
You know, so there was already this distance between the people and God in their hearts and in the way they saw it and the way we were thinking. They were, okay, you know, Samuel, you pray to God. He's your God. You know, so we have to pay attention to this gap between people and God does not happen instantly. It grows.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it's over time has grown to this moment. So, and what I love about Samuel though, is he still had a heart for the people. He reminds me a lot of Moses. Moses had a lot of frustration with the people, but he still loved the people. And Samuel's response is, listen, I'm not going to sin by not praying for you. You know, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to intercede. So that's what we see, is this is the beginning of the kingship era of Israel. And that's what we see the rest. This is the end of Judges. Now we're into the king.